There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archive for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome in. Second hour of the weekend edition. We're recording this kind of early in the sense that Mr. Fleck is getting married today as you're listening to this. So I'm going to talk a little bit about events that are, we have been talking, I guess I should say, a little bit about events that are not necessarily time sensitive, but very, very important. I'm going to swing over into politics again, and we're going to talk with Rick Ackerman and Doc about Mrs. Clinton. A lot of people are feeling that she's the heir apparent to Barack Obama. A lot of people are saying that may not be the case. Peggy Noonan, as an example, in an editorial that came out exactly 1 week ago today in the Wall Street Journal, said she thinks that Hillary won't run. Hillary looks tired, and Hillary is not handling, did not handle the situation well in her press conference, and it goes on and on. Rick, what do you think, bud?
Well, I have a lot of respect for Peggy Noonan. She's been pretty astute in the past, but I'd have to disagree with her here. I think Hillary has had her sights on a presidency since she was about 4 years old, and that's when she started lying, cheating, and double-dealing her way through life to get there. And I mean that literally. You know, if you go back to the cattle trade where she made six figures and claimed that she got the knowledge to do that from the Wall Street Journal, Victor Niederhofer made it very clear that the trade was simply an arranged payoff, that she'd been given the winning end of a spread by a particular brokerage house. And that one incident alone would have stopped out the career of most politicians. But with Hillary, you know, she and her husband are such good political organizers that they've just forged ahead. They certainly raise a lot of money. And I see Hillary as absolutely unstoppable. And the odds of that are even higher simply because there's no viable alternative. You know, you'll never see Joe Biden running. He's a joke. Elizabeth Warren is a joke in another way. So there's no alternatives to Hillary. And my fear is that if, and I don't mean this in a sexist way, but if women are stupid enough to vote for Hillary because she's a woman, Hillary's going to be our next president.
Rick, it really does seem to be setting up for at least Hillary just grabbing the spotlight, whether it's in a positive sense or a negative sense. There are a lot of skeptical people out there who say Hillary has too many, I guess, skeletons in her closet that the mainstream media and the other side, even her own party, could really take those to the press and make those a point of contention. Do you think this is a reasonable concern and an argument for not voting for Hillary?
Well, she just seems to shrug it off, you know, and as we see with Obama, no matter what the guy does, he's still got this base of support that loves him, and I think Hillary benefits from the same thing. You know, there's just a chunk of the Democratic left that loves her, and nothing is going to derail her. I mean, it doesn't matter. The press will sort of get on her now. The New York Times was the lead story on Hillary's email problem, but even the Times predictably is going to lose interest as Hillary becomes more, you know, as we get more deeply into campaign season.
Doc, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the New York Times will lose interest if the mainstream media, and I mentioned this before, which includes the New York Times, cannot resurrect a liberal candidate to run against her, one of them that they like personally. And they may try, and if they're not successful, then they'll fall into the Hillary camp because that's the best thing they got going for them unless they get Jeb Bush to run on the Republican side. So they're turncoats like everybody else. They will try to get the ultimate liberal to run. And they may turn on Hillary for a while. But if that doesn't work, then they'll fall into her camp like good Democratic ideologues that they are.
Now, Doc, I guess I'll ask you this. Do you think that there will be any sort of trickle-over effect in the sense that, you know, Bill was president however many years ago it was, well over 10 years ago now, I think. Do you think that he still has some supporters in there that will just vote for her because that they either liked or disliked Bill?
Absolutely, because they don't care. The Democratic Party is a party of ideology, and unlike the Republican Party, which is really not an ideology party. So what you've got in the Democrats are very strong partisans and low information voters that will vote for any Democrat that's put up by the party faithful. They don't care. Hillary could go out and do something awful, and they wouldn't care, because whoever's put up, 80% of those people will vote for them no matter what. And polls have shown that in the past. So it doesn't really matter how much they dig up on Hillary or Bill or the whole Clinton entourage. It doesn't matter to these people. They will vote for them.
You know, a lot of our listeners I can't remember who said this. I think it might have been you, Bird, but a lot of our listeners are saying that they really are very hesitant about the political dynasties. You know, we had the Bushes in the late 80s, and then we had his son, G.W., was the president, obviously, from 2000 to 2008. They feel that family dynasties like that are not good, and I have a tendency to disagree with that. Cautiously disagree. And the reason I say that is the Kennedys, I think, were probably pretty good people. When you look at all three of the boys, you know, John and certainly Teddy Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, it's interesting that, I mean, you had a family, I think, who were very good politicians. And number two, I think they did some really good things for the country. I have to say that. I don't agree with it, with all of them, but I think that they did. And I think that the Bush family also had some positive attributes, you know. So the dynasty thing doesn't scare me. And I'm curious, Rick, how you feel about this. Would that keep Jeb Bush, A, from getting the nomination, and B, if he does get the Republican nomination, would that keep him out of the president's office?
Well, I've always felt there was a disconnect between the candidates that wind up at the top of the mainstream list and the ones that would essentially be the choice of the popular vote. You know, we get a drumbeat for Jeb Bush, but I don't sense there's any real grassroots love for the guy. He just happens to be the mainstream media's idea of plausible, and I think it goes even a little deeper, because the candidate that the mainstream media tends to nominate for the Republicans is the one that they think is most beatable. And we saw that in the last election cycle, where you began with maybe a dozen Republicans, and they were like ducks in a shooting gallery for the media. I don't think that Jeb Bush is probably going to be the guy, or maybe Christie, but I think that it's really out of sync, really, with the mainstream, let's say, the popularity contest.
I have to say this, and that is that I think that the Jeb would be a viable candidate, number one, because of his stance towards Latinos, and I'm not using that term derogatorily at all, because it's not a derogatory term, but, you know, I mean, he's married to a Mexican woman, he's bilingual, his kids are part Mexican, etc. He's never really done anything, in my opinion, that is anti-Mexican. Mexican, you know, he's had a common sense approach to that particular issue. I don't agree with the one thing, you know, and that is I really think that illegal aliens shouldn't just be given, you know, blanket amnesty. If I break the law, I got to pay for it. So having said that, I don't know, Corey, from a Canadian standpoint, what do you think, man?
From a Canadian standpoint, I really wish that there was somebody new, somebody exciting, or somebody that I think the country could really rally behind, because right now, not only are the two parties seem to be very divided, they also seem to be very divided inside their two parties. So it's unfortunate that we're kind of going down this road, but I'm not overly optimistic.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't see the Democrats as being overly divided. I mean, you know, you've got a couple of potential candidates in there, you know, and I know that a lot of people don't care for Mrs. Clinton, but I don't see the division within the Democratic Party that we have in the Republican Party. Rick, always a pleasure, man. Thanks, bud. Stick around. We're going to have views from Chris Temple on this subject. We'll be right back.
independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. You're close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You pick up the receiver with your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead. You finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, now we know what Rick thinks about Mrs. Clinton. We've got Doc and I and Corey are chatting right now with Chris Temple. He feels that it is not necessarily a shoe-in that Hillary is going to win the election, and he thinks that that may happen because of the Democratic base. Your thoughts, Mr. T?
Well, if you go back out to the year 2000, you had that photo finish between Al Gore and George W. Bush, and it probably would not have been a photo finish were it not for the fact that particular year, a lot of Democrats stayed home. For 8 years, they're feeling, and I'm not talking about people that go to the Andrew Jackson Day function each year at their local Democrat county headquarters and all that type of stuff. I'm talking about the real doctrinaire liberals, the activists, because those are the foot soldiers and the real energy for the Democrat Party, just like the conservatives and to some extent the evangelical conservatives have been the nerve center and the energy for Republicans for many years. But back to the Democrats, for 8 years, those people thought from 1993 through 2000 that to a very great extent Bill Clinton had betrayed them. He supported international trade deals and treaties that cost American jobs. He went along with Republican-led welfare reform, which they would say hurt a lot of the working poor. He did a lot of things when it came to government and in the name of working with the Republicans in Congress that a lot of Democrats never forgave Clinton for, and Al Gore paid the price for that. What have we had these last 7 years or thereabouts now? We have had Barack Obama also push for these new international trade deals. We've had Barack Obama support Wall Street bailouts and supporting the big banks. We've had Barack Obama go way beyond what any previous president has done with spying and building up the police and surveillance state, building up Big Brother, if you will. And a lot of times when I want to know about what Democrats think, I won't read the National Review or the American Spectator and things like that. I'll read Mother Jones and In These Times and The Nation and The Huffington Post to see what the doctrinaire liberal slash left foot soldiers think. And they're not happy with this presidency and with what this man has done. And some of this may well rub off on not only if it's Hillary Clinton, but whoever the Democrat Party nominee is, unless they really rush to distance themselves from some of this. Now, Hillary has already done some of that, trying to distance herself from Obama. The problem is, in her case, she's done it kind of in the opposite direction than what some liberals would want, namely on foreign policy, where she would be indistinguishable from whoever the Republican nominee is and being more hawkish in going after ISIS and some others than Obama has done.
Doc, when I take a look at what Hillary has done so far just in the last couple months, there's no question in my mind that she is going down this road to at least running and potentially even winning. And she really is, just in herself with that Clinton name, almost an establishment character in politics in the U.S. So I think she has a lot of people that will back her no matter what happens for the rest of Obama's campaign. And I think Chris does bring up a good point that she's just going to need to continue to distance herself, and I think she built in has a lot of support already. What's your comments, Doc?
Well, I wouldn't consider Hillary a slam dunk just yet. And the reason for that is because of two reasons. Number one, the Obamas and the Clintons do not get along at all. They don't like each other, and in fact, there are those that feel that the one that blew the whistle on Hillary's email issues was Valerie Jarrett. And that the Obamas have essentially told Hillary they're going to remain neutral in this race. In other words, meaning that they don't want to see her succeed. Now, the other problem she is going to have, I believe, is mainstream media, which has a definitely liberal bent. And I don't think they like Hillary either. So I think you actually may see where they will keep this email issue alive, hoping that a left-leaning candidate will rise out of this mess and challenge her. Now, if that doesn't happen, then the only thing they have left is to then back Hillary at that point in time. But she's just another establishment figure. She's no different than, let's say, a Bush candidacy. As far as being both militaristic and a neocon, but also a puppet of Wall Street. So there's no distinguishing marks between the two of them. But I think that's how it's going to play out. I actually think the mainstream media will not exactly not keep pushing this email issue themselves, hoping that a liberal candidate will pop up to challenge her.
Oh, I got to tell you, Doc, I think that's a very good point. From what I've seen so far in the media now, obviously the media is very, very biased to the left, and I don't think there's any question about that. But having said that, I agree that she's not a slam dunk. And the reason I say that is because I don't think this email thing, I think it's really, really going to jump up, continue to be jumping up and biting her. And your comment about Valerie Jarrett I think is really interesting, but you know, earlier in the week, specifically last Monday, you know, Rand Paul came out and said that the email situation with Mrs. Clinton was clearly illegal. And Chris, any comment on that one?
You know, I've not followed this as closely as some people have. No question the Republicans, and especially the more conservative Republicans, are going to keep beating her over the head with that and saying this is just the latest example of how the Clintons run fast and loose and the end justifies the means. I don't think in a broad sense it's going to hurt her that much, though. That's my own opinion. I've read of how previous secretaries of state have done much the same thing. There's even a story out early this week about Jeb Bush and him using a private email account when he shouldn't have, when he was governor of Florida. So I don't think this is going to have a whole lot of traction beyond the typical, pundit left versus right talk shows. I don't think that issue is going to animate the average voter whatsoever by the time we get to next year, if she is the nominee.
Chris, I have to say that I agree with you. I think that this email situation will kind of be either swept under the rug or blown behind us, just because that's just what happens in these sort of races. And I don't think people truly understand the significance of what she did. And you know what? She addressed it. She pushed it behind her. I think she has the power to move on from this, and we'll see where that leaves her.
Well, I think you could be right, although a lot of people really don't like Hillary. A lot of people, as Chris brought up, a lot of people are fairly disenchanted with where Obama took the situation. And when I say people, I mean Democrats specifically. I think we could have a replay of the election in 2000 when George Bush won it. It's hard to say. A lot of people are presuming that she's the candidate for sure. I kind of agree with that at this moment in time, but we'll see how it shakes out. Stick around, you guys. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com, or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case. We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome in. We're doing an early market wrap because of the international event that's occurring this afternoon and tomorrow in Vancouver, British Columbia. We are doing an early market wrap with the markets aren't closed yet, obviously, but we can get some indications here. And Corey and I are chatting right now with, let me make sure I get them right, Rick Ackerman, Doc, Richard Postma, and Gary Savage. You know, if you look at the markets today, this week has been interesting. So far on Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average right now is up close to 200 points, 194.25. That's pretty typical about what's going on in the markets. S&P is at 2109.50. 63 right now. NASDAQ just bumped up, Gary, to 5,036.12. And in terms of the gold markets, gold continues to look good. That was a great call in your to your subscribers last night, I have to say, Rick. But gold right now is maintaining above 1180. It's 1181.20. Silver is up 59 cents for all practical purposes, $16.70. Let's start out with you, Richard. Is the gold going to stay above that 1180 points, the 1180 resistance level, in your opinion?
Well, gold looks good on the daily charts right now. The weekly charts, the momentum on that hasn't swung positive or hasn't turned north yet. But the daily has, so we're probably going to run a little bit more here. I would say, and then maybe get a pullback. And I think April could be interesting for gold. We might have a chance in April to move higher. But right now, you know, it looks good. In fact, I bought some gold stocks last week, and I'm going to wait now because some of them hit nice support levels, and I expect some of those to move higher. But we're in a good place right now with gold. There's no at all indication that you're going to see a big drop in gold anywhere in the near future.
Gary, we chat a lot about how sentiment truly moves these markets. In the gold market, after the FOMC statement, I think we've seen sentiment shift at least just a little bit. What do you think?
Well, it looks to me like we've got at least a daily cycle low in gold. And if the dollar has put in an intermediate top, there's a chance that this could turn into an intermediate degree bottom. However, I don't think the bear market in gold is over yet, because I don't think the rally in the dollar, the cyclical bull market that the dollar's in, I don't think that's over yet. So I think we may just get a corrective move in the dollar here for a few weeks, but then I think it goes back up. When it does that, then gold's probably going to run into trouble again. So I think gold's probably still just stuck in this trading range that it's been in for 2 years.
Rick, flipping over to the conventional markets, you put out another Thursday night, you put out another missive to your subscribers entitled Getting the Jump on Friday Jackpot Bets. Quote, there was no follow through yesterday to Wednesday's short squeeze rally, but I doubt that the broad averages are going to relapse as the week draws to a close. In any event, I'll be in the chat room before the opening to discuss potential jackpot bets. These plays use cheap expiring options for extreme leverage. Explain that real quick, if you would.
Well, we basically play options on the Friday that they expire, and they're kind of stripped for action at that point. You know, you can buy options on stocks that can move quite a bit for 20, 30, 40 cents, and if you're lucky, you'll see those options go to $4 or $5. The big plays today on the jackpot bets are Netflix, Google, and LinkedIn all have bullish targets coming in this morning, and these jackpot bets work especially well if the opening bar is a fake in the opposite direction from where you expect things to move. So we did have that in a couple of the stocks today. In other words, nice opportunities to purchase calls that expire today that are a few bucks out of the money for under 50 cents.
Gary, let's chat a little bit about oil right now, because oil has been bouncing around this week, trading right now at just below $46 a barrel. We did see it drop down into the low 40s. Do you think we're going down or up here?
I think we're going up. We're getting a volatile, what looks to me anyway, like a volatile bottoming pattern. And we got a classic undercut low that has since been reversed on the FOMC statement. And then we dropped a little bit yesterday to shake the longs out, and now we're back up near those highs from Wednesday again today. So I think we probably put in an intermediate cycle bottom here on that marginal undercut, and I think we go higher for maybe 4 to 6 weeks as the dollar moves down.
You know, we had an interesting conversation earlier in the show here with Abby Gilbert. Abby's continues to be pretty optimistic based on technical reasons, Rick, on the conventional markets. In terms of the long-term outlook on the conventional markets, he's not so optimistic, and I guess he shares that opinion with us. What are your comments on his feelings about the short to mid-term for the conventionals?
I like to take it one step at a time, but I particularly am enthused about shorting rallies that happen for stupid reasons or no reason at all. And what we've got in the market right now is a reaction to the Fed's slightly moving away from this tightening idea. So I don't like to sort of overdrive my technical indicators, but I'm looking for a shortable top in the Dow at marginal new highs. I've been kind of bearish, been bearish since 1975, but you know, I think this bull market is a little long in the tooth here, And to me, the perfect scenario would be the Dow at marginal new record highs, and that's when they pull the plug. If you need a reason, it's simply that, you know, the biggest companies in America are going to take a huge hit from their overseas profits. It happened last quarter, but it's going to happen to a much more significant degree this time because the dollar is much higher right now than it was in the fourth quarter of 2014. So I'm very I've been chomping at the bit looking for a great place to go short for years, and I continue to take shots at promising targets. And the Dow, I think that target is 18333, currently trading 18141. So we're talking about 190-point move above here, which would put the Dow in new record territory.
Doc, whenever we chat with you about stocks and the general markets outside of the precious metals, you usually come up with some pretty good ideas on different industries and stocks to play. Do you have anything on your radar right now that you're either watching or slowly moving on?
Yeah, I've got a number of stocks that on pullbacks I keep purchasing, and they're my long-haul stocks. And a lot of them are precious metal stocks that are sitting at monthly, the low Bollinger Bands with hardly not much further to move down, frankly. And I know I'm going to have to be in those things for a long time, but I'm willing to accumulate down here. And then I'm looking at others. One of the interesting ones, I'm looking at oil tankers because there is so much oil being produced even after this drop in oil that countries are running out of place to store this stuff. So then they throw it on these oil tankers, and they've gotten crushed in the past, especially because there were too many of them built over time. But now their day rates are starting to perk up, and so I'm buying one in particular, and that one has a dividend as well. So I like those, and then there's other stocks I've been purchasing besides. And some of the stocks that we've talked about, Claude Resources, which I was in very early, and also some of the ones we've mentioned on the program, too, in particular. But I buy whenever they pull back because the technicals long-term look so good.
Our stocks are actually looking pretty good right now. The ones that we're following, we've got a new one potentially coming up here that we will have some word on next week that we're really, really excited about. And we'll tell you more about that one next week. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Corey and I are going to be right back with Glenn Downs. Can't get away from politics.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN. Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now.
Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products.
It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery.
Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
By now you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Okay, welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition. Last weekend edition that Mr. Fleck, by the way, is going to be recording as a single male. So there you go.
I'm going to get smarter, right?
Well, I certainly did.
I've been told. Listen,
I certainly did. There's no question about that. You know, speaking of smart, we got Glenn Downs with us right now. We're going to continue on along the lines of political issues. And Glenn, it's budget time.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
You sent me the article earlier in the week that was in Politico entitled Republicans Try End Run Around Spending Caps, a similar strategy led to a government shutdown 2 years ago. They just can't get it together, can they?
Well, Big Al, the problem is that what you're referring to is that the House Republicans unveiled their 10-year budget plan.
Right.
And this is a budget plan very similar to the Paul Ryan plan of a few couple of years ago that would at least nominally on paper balance the budget after 10 years. And so it's really a political document rather than an honest working budget. And I'm not saying that if the Democrats came up with, but first of all, if the Democrats were in power, they didn't come up with budgets. They just didn't do it. So, and if they did come up with one, it would be more dishonest. But the problem is this is really a political document. You're trying to drive home some political points, but if you're somebody that listens to the Corlin Economic Report, you might be interested in politics, but you're interested in economics, you're interested in economic reality, and this is really just not real. The spending cuts, first of all, the spending cuts that are in this budget that allegedly would get us to balance requires the repealing of Obamacare. It requires a massive restructuring of Medicare, Medicaid programs, particularly Medicaid. There just has been no evidence this sort of thing has happened, that we had these inexorably almost black holes of spending in healthcare programs. But there are cuts to discretionary spending programs, the domestic discretionary spending programs, in this budget, but none of those cuts in this 10-year budget happened in the first year. Well, it turns out the way the budget law works, it's only binding in that first year. And the out years is aspirational. So that's like saying today I'm going to eat my dessert, but not to worry, I'm going to lose 10 pounds over the next 10 years because I'll eat no desserts and I'll cut out starches and fats and things in the out years. Well, what happens is you continue to eat your dessert, and the next year you just reboot it again. You come up with your next 10-year budget. Additionally, there is instead of not only cutting spending, discretionary spending, there are increases in discretionary spending on the military and homeland security side, the gun side of the guns and butter equation.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they would get around those spending cuts, nominally they're not spending any more money on this cap spending, but what they're going to do, they propose to do, is to spend more money on what's called the Overseas Contingency Operations, OCO, OCO funds. And those are not subject to budget limits. This is supposedly emergency spending for overseas, unplanned, unexpected, unaccounted for overseas wars. Well, we've been in overseas wars for a decade and a half, and they've just been outside of the budget caps. So we're spending more money, not less money. And any effort that would cause budget to be balanced is this aspirational stuff that happens in out years. And of course, we know that the math and the demographics of the country are such, there's going to be more pressure on that kind of spending, not less, as time goes on.
I just want to interject one thing here before I forget at my age, you know. And that is, I've had numerous visits with physicians the last couple of weeks, and not because there's anything wrong, but just preventive stuff. And the doctors who I have talked with, 100%, I ask them the question. I mean, they know me, they know what I do, etc. And I asked every one of them the question, has Obamacare helped you or hindered you? And every one of them has said, it has hindered us. Absolutely 100%. I find that to be amazing.
Well, it's very interesting, and that gets the Medicaid part of the equation, because there's a Medicaid component to the Obamacare law, and then so that is there's tremendous pressure on that, and to keep within budget caps, what they've done is to restrict physician reimbursements for procedures done under Medicare and Medicaid. So as more people have become Medicaid eligible under Obamacare, you've got more and more people trying to eat more and more slices of pie,
right?
And that means skinnier slices of pie going to healthcare providers.
That's right.
So now you're starting to get healthcare providers who are walking away and saying, hey, we're not taking new Medicare or Medicaid patients. And in some cases, they're saying, even if you're an existing patient, sorry, we're not taking that form of insurance. That's what it is. It's an insurance payment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, strangely enough, there's talk around here about doing a so-called doc fix, and this is on the Medicare side of the equation, which would permanently increase what the government, this Medicare program, doctors would be reimbursed. Well, the problem is that, of course, puts a hole in the Medicare budget and this Medicare trust fund going forward. You know, you say like a balloon, you think put pressure one place and it shows up someplace else. Relieve pressure there, it shows up someplace else. And so, how's that going to get paid for? Well, not to worry, the reports go from Republican leadership staff, that's going to be fully paid for. It's just not going to be fully paid for within the context of this 10-year budget. So that's like saying, not only are we not going to do it this year, we're going to do it 5 or 6 years from now. They're saying we're going to do it, but it's going to be more than 10 years from now. And, of course, that's never, never land stuff.
Now, Glenn, coming from a financial background, there are two ways to balance a budget, one of which is cutting spending, which I think we all agree on this interview that cutting spending needs to happen, but there is also the aspect of raising taxes, and I know that is a very, very much a no-go issue But was that brought up at all during this?
Not in this budget, but again, in the Ryan budget, and of course, this is just the round one on this, but the Paul Ryan budget of a couple years ago, there were tax increases in it. They were just hidden. And what they did was, and you could tell that Ryan cited an unspecified tax reform, the idea we're going to lower tax rates but broaden the tax base, and that would then raise more revenue through tax reform. And in the Ryan budget, and you know, with your financial background, Corey, you fully understand this. They projected the economy to grow at a certain rate, but they projected tax revenues to grow at a rate higher than the economy, or faster than the economy was to grow. Well, if you were going to lower rates and have tax revenues grow at a faster rate than the economy was going to grow, that meant that you were going to eliminate all kinds of tax preferences, like mortgage deductions or deductibility of all kinds of things that people are charitable deductions and those kinds of things. And what's reasonable to expect, you know, government's pretty rapacious, and people forget we've already had a couple of big rounds of tax increases. When the Bush tax cuts expired, there were permanent increases in the estate tax, permanent increases in some of the higher tax brackets, and then Obamacare introduced a whole series of all kinds of tax increases that fall on people who purchased insurance, are forced to purchase insurance. Some are insurance taxes on the insurance company that are passed on to customers, and others, medical device taxes, a lot of things. What some people think will happen is that comprehensive tax reform, quote unquote, will be introduced. And as part of that, just as was suggested in the Ryan budget, there'd be comprehensive tax reform. And as part of that, it would say, hey, all of these things that are currently deductible, whether it's charitable deductions, health care deductions, or mortgage interest deductions, for example, would all still be available, but the total amount that you'd be able to deduct would be capped. So it might be able to say, hey, you can deduct your mortgage interest and you can deduct this, but you can't deduct both. You get to choose. You can deduct a certain amount and then that's it, which would be a de facto tax increase.
And having said that, there's certain things you have to do that you don't have a choice, Corey, and that is...
Get married.
We've got to wrap this thing up. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. It was absolutely wonderful, and trust me, Corey's doing the right thing.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
St. Paddy's Day is coming soon to Guns80.com. My buddy Mark is rolling in clover since Guns80.com announced its clean and green sale. He used his leprechaun-like magical powers to get Guns80.com to offer us a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Now, for a limited time, when you order an AR-15 rifle kit, Guns80.com will toss in a cleaning kit and a tactical bipod pistol grip free, all for the low, low price of $449.95. Go to Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials. commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.